is Brent Baird of College Sports Notebook, 1010 XL Radio in Jacksonville, as well First Coast News and more. Brent, always appreciate your time and happy Monday.
Well, it is the Monday before the Florida-Georgia game. So, as you know, in this city, it is...
I still will argue, Chan, that this game is the biggest single event in this city the entire year. I know Florida is not where Florida wants to be. Georgia's number one team in the nation. And I think Georgia will win the game and probably win the game comfortably. But we've gone through enough of the snow that we can't take anything for granted, can we, Chad?
No. And what a lot of people don't know about Jacksonville, I don't think Drew knows this, is I had a lot of relatives that went to Bishop Kenny, Jacksonville Bowls, a lot of that. So I used to go up there every Thanksgiving. That's where we'd have it. And I know – you know, isn't Jacksonville the largest landmass, size-wise, not people? Isn't it in the United States?
Yes, it is.
It's the largest, yeah.
Is it really?
Yeah.
It is. It's the most spread-out city in America,
in America, yeah.
So if I remember correctly, I've been through Jacksonville, never been, I guess, to or stopped there. But if I remember, coming from the south end, I don't know the interstate, but going north and approaching the city, I think there's a hill you go over, and you can see the Jaguar Stadium, and it's just open, and it looks like it is very spread out. But I did not know that
the city. There's so much area right there in Duval County that goes across, and it is that whole area. It actually leads up through almost to Georgia, right up there to the line. But the thing is, Brent, you know, the thing that I'm talking about with this, though, is there's very few games that are played between two juggernauts of college football that are in a city of that size and magnitude during Halloween of all dates, where people can – I mean, people like to dress up at any age for Halloween. It's really the only holiday where people, whether you're 4 years old and you're in a little Minnie Mouse cart, or you're 60 and you're dressed up in some, like, gorilla suit or panther outfit. And the thing is, you can do whatever it's a celebration for all, it seems – even though it's sort of a reverse of what you go to church on Sunday for. But when it comes down to it, Brent, with the combination of Halloween with that game and the city of Jacksonville, I've been there four or five times, and I'm telling you, it's a bucket list type thing, even if you're not a Florida Georgia fan.
Well, the thing Drew's talking about is you come over the Matthews Bridge, and now this is the route that the teams take, and they can see the city. This is truly a neutral site game, even though Georgia fans won't agree with that, meaning that it's split in half. It's like Oklahoma, Texas. It's like Alabama, Auburn used to be at Legion Field. You've got half the stands orange, half the stands red. And we've got the famous RV City, which... Chad, how would you describe that? Is a mini, it's a mini Bourbon Street. Is kind of what it is with RVs. Is that a good description of it?
I think it's fair. And to your point about being at, when I said I've been at three or four games, I've actually made it. This isn't a joke either. I made it in the stadium once. And the other weeks, I would just walk around the RV world pretty much, and people will openly, you know, you're playing cornhole games, or they got all the flat screens out there, but people honestly will let you just walk into their camper and, you know, take some food and give them some food. It's like a huge potluck dinner for everybody. It's the coolest thing, and the way that people are involved, and not everybody even cares about Florida or Georgia. They're there for the party. It truly is something remarkable.
There's 70-something in the stadium, and I would not hesitate to say, and this is probably your experience, there's at least double that around the stadium, right, Chan?
Yes.
See around Jacksonville, Drew, you've got TV stations right around the stadium. You've got television stations. You've got two big, it's called Daly's Place, and then you've got ByStar Arena, where you have all the concerts for 15,000 people. And then you've got the Jumbo Shrimp have got their stadium here.
too. So it is quite a sports complex that has the two favorite teams in this city play in it once a year.
We are now brethren with the Jumbo Shrimp, by the way. We were once your adversary,
yes.
But now we are now with the Miami Marlins affiliate with you guys. I think you're AAA, we're AA, so we can all get along in that category because I know how that rivalry, the history of the Jumbo Shrimp and the Blue Wahoos for the whole country. But when it comes down to when you come down to this game, Brent, talk a little bit about the game. Pat Dooley was on earlier with the Gainesville Sun. I know he doesn't work for Gainesville Sun anymore, but Pat was on with Paul Feinbaum when I was driving in. You know, and he was just talking about sometimes Dan Mullen thinks he's right when the rest of the world doesn't. And honestly, it feels that way because he keeps giving answers out that people don't want to hear. And it's almost like I honestly think there was part of him like the Grinch that stole Christmas, that when Emory Jones had a better game than Anthony Richardson that one time, like and he looked good in the second half against Alabama, that like, even though they lost, like, I told you he was good. Like, he just wants to prove people wrong, and he forgets that those people are on his side, and they're cheering for him to make the right decisions.
Well, and the thing he also forgets is some of those people actually have a pretty good objective view of what's going on, meaning that he basically is playing the wrong quarterback. But
he is playing the wrong quarterback.
He is, because he recruited him, and he's loyal to him to a fault, And I get that. So some of these coaches are, and there's really nothing wrong with that. But Gator fans know that Anthony Richardson is a better quarterback, and that's what's not happening here. So, and I've had Gator fans tell me they also think Dan always thinks he's just more just guy in the room, wherever the room is. So there. I don't know if it's love, hate. Help me on this, Chad. I don't know if it's love, hate. Hate's too strong a word, but they really do get irritated with him because they think that he's his own worst enemy at times. And in a Gator team that if they lose this game will have four losses and frankly should have a much better record than they do.
To me, the whole deal, Brent, it almost seems – it's not quite to this level, I guess, but it almost seems like – with this whole Justin Fields deal and the Bears, that people would rather go 7-10 with Justin Fields playing than 10-7 with Andy Dalton. I feel like Gator fans know that whether win or lose, they know that Richardson is the guy, is the better quarterback. So we want him to play and continue to develop, if you will. Is that a fair assessment to make, or a fair, I guess, comparison? Or would you say the two are different?
Drew, the thing they're wary of is if they don't play him, he's leaving.
Right.
And that they don't want. So, look, I think they appreciate Emory Jones, that they appreciate his loyalty. He's done some good things. But when Richardson is in the game, their offense is – when Emory's in the game, it's in first gear. When Richard's in the game, it's in second or third. Is that a fair assessment, Jan?
Yes, I would agree. And you know, and I got nothing. I grew up in a Florida household. As I get older and the gifts getting stronger, like new tires on my car and things like that for my parents, I'm always cheering. It used to be like a little toy that cost $10. Now it's like, all of a sudden he's like, I bought you, that new transmission you need. I'm like, yes. But when it comes down to looking at the Florida Gators, they are a better team. No matter what, it's too late to try to convince anybody that they're a top tier team. They're 4-4, correct? Or no, 4-3? Or what? What are we right?
Okay. If they lose, it'll be 4-4.
Okay.
Yes.
So, but at this point, after a loss to LSU, and then to watch LSU get embarrassed by Ole Miss the next week to make it even worse, and nobody is really giving them a fighting shot against Georgia. Even the people breaking it down, like Greg McElroy, somebody I really do respect as an analyst, and McElroy was saying, I mean, they could get lucky with a quick strike. Anytime you tell a team that how are you going to beat the other team by you have to go deep like 50 yards, you're pretty much saying you're chucking Hail Marys and hoping for a blessing.
Right.
Like, that's not an offense. Like, anybody can try like, hey, what do you need to do? Close your eyes and throw it deep. Like, that's not actually winning in between the trenches. But if you look right now at Florida, there's no consistency. They're fighting over their own people. They want to blame.
Right.
You know, Grantham's out. I mean, even if they shut out, even if they shut out Georgia this week, which is not happening, but if they did it and they won 13-0, Todd Grantham's still probably going to be fired by the end of the year. So I don't know what the answer is, but the answer is there needs to be some change, and Richardson is the obvious change. Grantham is the obvious change to get rid of him, and this is what the whole world's saying. Like, you don't have Gator fans arguing over this. This is what everybody is saying, and Dan Mullen's the only one saying no. And it's like, and there's no, and outside of loyalty to Emory Jones, like we said, there is no reason he's fighting against his own people across the board.
No. Well, and see, the other thing with this, and it has to be said, is they have got to get, and it, this is just not a Grantham thing. They, if they make the change there, that's one thing. They've got to get coaches in there who can be better recruiters, who recruit better players. Now anybody who's a Gator fan will tell you that. Anybody who's in the media will tell you that. And Mullen can say all he wants about, well, we have a different evaluation system and so forth. Well, look, here's your reality. Your eighth or ninth or tenth in recruiting, which frankly is pretty good. The problem is you've got four or five SEC teams ahead of you. So that guys, is the bottom line for Florida is – they eventually have got to get somebody in who can recruit better players.
Yeah, Brent. Jumping into the top 25, I wanted to ask you this. So as it sits now, we got Georgia, Cincy, Alabama, Oklahoma. Some people are a little bit fed up with the fact that Oklahoma's 8-0 and they're right, and Alabama's ahead of them. Well, I mean, if you go off the eye test, I think that it's pretty clear that Oklahoma might not even – they're not even as good as Ohio State or Michigan, you know. And Ohio State lost to Oregon. So
they could lose at Vanderbilt right now based on the Kansas assessment.
Well,
I'll say this. My brother and I, we were at the Alabama-Tennessee game this past weekend, and then going to Georgia, Florida this weekend. That's pretty good two weekends in a row. Here's the reality, though. Now, I give them credit; they won the game. But I'm telling you guys, that was no fluke. Kansas pushed them all around the field, in the first half. And I think the question, guys, that everybody's got is, are they at this point, is Oklahoma just delaying the inevitable?
I mean, I thought we were giving them a pass because it was week one when Tulane was dealing with Hurricane Ida.
Right.
And they had nowhere to even go. And they had to make the game a game in Oklahoma when they were supposed to come down here. And they still lose by six. Like, they don't have family members traveling. They're not even sure if their homes are there that they grew up in.
No.
And they make the trip. And with all those excuses, too, which aren't excuses, they're real legit life problems. But with all that, they lose by six, and everyone's like, wow. And then they turn around, and it's not just – it's every single game they played. They beat Nebraska by a touchdown at the end.
Right.
They beat West Virginia by three, and West Virginia's not having a good year. Oklahoma versus Kansas State, they won by six at the end. Every single game they've played had pretty much been a close game. And it gets to a point where – that they just are finding a way to win. But eventually, if they do get a spot in the playoff and they have to play Georgia, let's say it's 1-4,
sure,
we're just all going to sit here and go, come on, guys. Like, it's going to be 38-0 by halftime.
And Caleb Williams is a fine player, but as we saw against Kansas, the kid's not perfect yet. As people want to anoint him as a Heisman Trophy winner at this point, I think Alex Grinch has done a pretty good job of that with the defense. But now, obviously, they've still got Oklahoma State to play. And then Oklahoma State gets beat this weekend. So State and Mike Gundy and his five-year new contract extension, that might be where they trip up. But guys, what has surprised you at all with whoever they play at this point? I think they're very capable of losing a game.
Well, yeah, I mean, they have Baylor on the road, they've got Iowa State, who have all of a sudden looked, good. I mean, they still have Brock Purdy and they still have Breece Hall and those guys. And then, of course, like you said, they got Oklahoma State at Boone Pickens Stadium to end the year. So I would expect that. But so the question I have for you, Brent, is it seems like the way that at least the AP poll seems to be putting this is Michigan has looked really good, but they're still behind Ohio State. They haven't even cracked the top five. Is this something that it's just in their heads that at some point they think Michigan is going to lose as to why they're not ranked above Ohio State? Because this is, in a way, Oklahoma haven't even looked that great, but they're still up there. It's like the voters are thinking that they aren't capturing the eye test, I guess, as much as maybe preseason polls. Well, they had Oklahoma up in the top five, and Michigan wasn't even ranked in the top 25, so that's why we're holding them back. How much do you think, I guess, when the playoff committee starts to put out these polls, how much do you think they're going to account for the eye test in itself as opposed to any of the rankings as they currently sit?
Well, that eye test is important to them. Their game control, they've got, it depends on how they would put it. It's too look. So there are times, guys, and Cincinnati may be one of these. They call them placeholders. In other words, these are teams who have a nice season, and they're up there holding the place for who eventually would get there in that position. And that's what some of the people were calling Michigan. Still with the thought that okay, either Michigan State or Ohio State are going to beat them, or both.
Yeah, and I think, with Michigan, I would say to the point, I agree that, Ohio State lost to Oregon, and just to have them above, the wins losses should be the most detrimental thing to where you're at in the place. But Michigan's highest quality win this year is Wisconsin, who's a 500 team, meaning that they
right,
played,
right.
And it's not their fault Washington is hideous this year, but Washington's
true.
Bad. They played Rutgers, Northern Illinois, Western Michigan, Wisconsin, Nebraska, and Northwestern. Like, none of those count for, and they haven't beat one team that you'd say, oh, I'd like to see them in a bowl game.
Well, I know, and the deal is Oklahoma's beat these teams who stink by like a field
goal. Oh, I know. Listen, I'm with
above.
You on that. I'm with you. If I played Michigan and Oklahoma played right now, I am taking Michigan. I'll give you Oklahoma in a heartbeat.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
I think it's all, this whole deal is going to resolve itself in a way, because obviously Michigan plays Michigan State this weekend. Game day's there. It's probably the biggest game, at least in the Big Ten this year, and is the biggest game of the week in terms of playoff stuff. But it's interesting to see how Ohio State is ranked above Oregon. Oregon won in Columbus, and yeah, they fell up against Stanford, but Oregon did win that football game. So it's interesting to account. I feel like the at least the AP poll voters have this mindset of, we've seen how you looked, we've seen who you've also lost to, and that's playing a role into this. Like, if Oklahoma loses, I feel like in a way they completely plummet. They don't fall out of the top 10, but they aren't even close to the top 5.
I think more and more we're just realizing at the end of the year that even Cincinnati, who I want to root for because they're an American team and all that,
sure,
but we're really just wasting time for the inevitable, which is Alabama and Georgia are by far the best teams, and it's not even close. And I think Ohio State is gaining the power. Like, they lost their mojo. It's one of these movies where it's like one of those superheroes that lost their power, like when the kryptonite, when like Superman's stuck in one of those caves, and then he finally starts getting it back. Like, Ohio State is starting to be that team again because they have the roster. Clemson's lost it. They're the guy withered and on the island trapped in a cage, and they're never getting out. But at this point, Ohio State's back to the powerhouse of that. And it's going to be fun to see against Michigan. But, yeah, Alabama and Georgia are just that much better. But, Brent, we could talk all day, but we're up against the top of the hour. I really appreciate it. Looking forward to the Florida-Georgia weekend. And talk to you soon here, my friend.
And listen, as I go out, there'll be a lot of people questioning this new overtime 2-point thing, won't they, guys?
Jeez, nine overtimes. I didn't even know what was going on. I didn't know it was physically possible to have a 20-18 9 overtime, but that's the new rule.
that's the Big Ten for you.
There you go, exactly. Hey, have a great rest of your night, Brent.
Thank you, guys. We'll enjoy the game this weekend.